Welcome back. I'm Todd Zwillick. When the city of Detroit emerged from the nation's largest ever municipal bankruptcy almost 2 years ago, it was left with a razor-thin financial cushion. Now, Detroit's downtown is booming with new construction everywhere, but some longtime residents, primarily African Americans, fear that all of that investment is not about them. It's geared to attract upscale white millennials to the city. And now, Detroit officials are weighing how much of the city's scant resources they should be spending for this city's outlying, mostly abandoned neighborhoods. WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter has more.
Detroit is huge, 139 square miles. At its height in the 1950s, the Motor City had almost 2 million residents. Now, after decades of lost manufacturing jobs and at times outright public corruption, Detroit has a population of less than 700,000. One of the most desolate and dangerous neighborhoods is called Brightmoor.
And then we're going to the park to go to the party, okay?
Yet on the front porch of a modest single-family home, Dawn Wilson Clark sits in a pocket of hope, one of hundreds of homes built about a decade and a half ago to push back against the overwhelming blight.
And actually, my ex-husband was not happy about this location. I told him, don't worry about it. They're going to tear that house down. They're going to tear these houses down. And in 10 years, the neighborhood's going to be different. And we're going to be a part of that. He didn't agree, and he's gone, and I'm still here with a wonderful new husband who is helping me be a part of the change.
Dawn says she has to drive her children miles away from Brightmoor so they can attend decent schools, but she also says her kids have had positive entrepreneurial and artistic experiences in Brightmoor she doubts would happen anywhere else in the city. She wonders if Detroit officials will consider that when they determine how much service to provide to the mostly decayed area.
I just hope residents are at the table when those decisions are being made. We have endured the blight, the turmoil, the gunshots, the crime, but we've stayed in our communities because we want it to be there. We need to have a voice.
City officials say that message has been received.
All these neighborhoods have a future. They don't all have the same future.
Maurice Cox is Detroit's chief city planner. He came here after helping guide the rebuilding of flood-ravaged New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. But Cox says in many ways the situation in Detroit is worse.
One of the challenges that Detroit has is because it's so large, whenever you invest in the public realm, you can barely see it because often it's spread so thinly. And where investors see the public resources, they tend to gravitate.
Yet Cox says the mostly vacant outskirts offer a unique opportunity.
We can go in and green 20 acres. Like, how many neighborhoods in America can you go in and do that? And then actually employ people from that neighborhood as a part of the green collar workforce. And then on the flip side, you know, we have probably the largest inventory of historic structures that are available for reuse in the country.
Cox vows that Detroit will continue providing water, electricity, and police protection to all neighborhoods, even those that are desolate. But he predicts that will become increasingly unnecessary as rebuilding continues in Detroit communities that are beginning to thrive.
So if you have a chance to live in a neighborhood where you can walk within 20 minutes of your house to grocery, fresh produce, greenways, quality schools, or you can live in an area where you don't have many neighbors anymore, the services are inadequate, you know, where would people rather live?
Some folks in Detroit, which remains mired in high rates of poverty and unemployment, don't have the luxury or the financial ability to move to more choice neighborhoods. Experts say those people won't have to move if their current communities can be repurposed.
This one over here. It's not just planting flowers, but these actually have environmental attributes to them.
At a kind of think tank called Detroit Future City, Executive Director Annika Goss Foster points to a map of projects she says are flourishing in impoverished neighborhoods that are proving unexpectedly resilient.
The view of the city was very black and white. The city's too big, so we need to shut it down, right? I think now we're viewing those communities very differently. Let's think about how we might use vacant land for a solar array to reduce energy efficiency. You need large acreage for that. Let's think about the land for community farming.
In fact, some researchers view that barely occupied land as a living laboratory for testing urban revitalization. Even pieces of wood left over from homes that have been demolished are sometimes reused as a part of a new home. Miles away, in some ways worlds away, from those neighborhoods, Detroit's downtown is humming with construction work, a huge sports arena complex, a commuter rail line. For a motor city that touts itself as having put the world on wheels, Detroit has almost no public transportation. City officials are trying to bridge a decades-old battle with their suburban counterparts and create a regional transit authority. But all of that seems very far away back in Brightmoor. On her front porch, surrounded by her children, Dawn Wilson Clark wonders if they or her neighborhood truly have a place in Motown's future.
You need to realize that people matter, not just the big business and not just people coming in, moving into this new fancy hip Detroit. You need to take care of the people who've been taking care of the city.
Detroit officials say they meet often with community leaders as they decipher where best to use the city's financial resources. But they add that they must increase Detroit's tax base if they hope to afford the way forward. And that means attracting new residents who, officials say, will in all likelihood want to move to a city with a vibrant urban atmosphere, not neighborhoods filled with the debris of the past. For The Takeaway, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.